listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace this Transfiguration Sunday and always. Amen. Transfiguration Sunday, this is the day that Jesus' face and his clothes changed right before his disciples' sleepy eyes. I think the sleepy eyes of the disciples kind of resonates for us. Anybody do the night shift for hypothermia? How'd you feel this morning? Some did the night shift and aren't with us this morning because they were with us all through last night. That sleepy eyes, I think, that's the time that speaks to us in our time in lots of ways. And actually, the sleepy disciples is unique to Luke's gospel. This story appears in Matthew and in Mark as well. They both have this transfiguration account. But it doesn't say there that the disciples were weighed down with sleep. So this is unique to Luke. One translation of this passage says they were hunched over with sleep, which reminds me of a lay assistant that I had once at the last congregation. I can now talk about him. He would hunch over with sleep as he was leading the service. He had this gift of falling asleep, but when his time came to say the prayers, he was like right on it. I don't know how he did that, but I always think of this like he was just hunched over and then he would sort of pop up. Don't hear me wrong, I think sleep is a really good thing. I think sleep is a gift from God, and if God is calling you to sleep in church, you should do it. I'm saying that. Maybe that's what you need the most, and that's a good thing. However, in the Gospel of Luke, sleepiness is not a good thing. In the Gospel of Luke, other places in Scripture, it definitely is. During sleep is when angels visit, in the Gospel of Matthew. We have all these stories in the Old Testament where angels come, people see things in their sleep. You've probably had experiences like that too, where some new enlightenment comes in your sleep. But in the Gospel of Luke, sleepiness is the opportunity to fall into temptation for Jesus. So beware of sleepiness, according to Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. Congressman Elijah Cummings this week. Powerful words to Michael Cohen at the end of his hearing. I'm not sure how many of you watched that, but these words that Representative Elijah Cummings said to Michael Cohen just have stuck with me this week as I think about this text and as I think about Lent coming our way. It's a chance for us to look at our individual sleepiness, the ways that we get sleepy, and I mean that in a broader way. One of the things Elijah Cummings said, maybe you heard it, he said, "You got caught up in it." Did you hear him say that? He said, "You got caught up in it. You got caught up in it," he said three times. Can you think of another time the disciples fall asleep when they're with Jesus at a critical time in the gospel story? It happens later on. The Garden of Gethsemane. They fall asleep in the garden. Jesus says, "Pray that you don't fall asleep. Pray that you may not be led into temptation," is actually what he says. And yet sleepiness hit them again. Sleepiness in this context is a fuzzy-mindedness. It's a foggy brain. Have you ever had a foggy brain? When I'm slumped over with sleep, when I have a foggy brain, I'm starting to drift a little bit. Heather will tell you this, I'm grumpy.
Yes.
If you wake me up. For me, sleep doesn't come along as much as I'd like, and so when I find it, I get mad when I lose it. You know? Part of me is glad I wasn't on the mountain with Jesus and the disciples, because if I had been kind of startled and woken from my sleepiness, I probably would have embarrassed myself and snapped at them when these bright lights and these Old Testament heroes all show up. I probably would have said something like, "Get out of here! Get out of here!" Try to sleep. My fuzzy-mindedness, my being hunched over with sleepiness, and the temptation that can accompany that sleepiness, it can lead me sometimes into anger, into grumpiness. The disciples, I think, are different. in this case. They weren't grumpy, thanks be to God. They didn't bark at Jesus or Moses or Elijah like perhaps I would have. They were much more like, I don't know how else to say, like happy drunks. As they kind of roused from their sleepiness, they were kind of coming to and going, Can you picture this? They didn't know what they were saying, is what the text says. Peter shouts out, "Let's build something. Let's stay here forever." They didn't know what they were saying. And can you blame them? Here they are. They wake up. They see Jesus there. And not just Jesus, Moses and Elijah. I mean, these were their heroes in their faith. They knew who those guys were somehow. And now Jesus is standing with them. So it elevates Jesus. If Jesus wasn't elevated before, now he's standing with these heroes, Moses and Elijah. So they're starstruck and they're jolted awake at the same time. The few experiences I've had at being starstruck, I always say something stupid. Peter, James, and John were starstruck. They were sleepy, happy, drunk, and they were away from the world. That's the other thing that's going on here. Can you blame them for wanting to build and stay up there forever? They were far away from the hurting, crazy, real world. They were only wanting to hang on to that. Keep cozy and fuzzy forever. It's like being nice and warm in your bed, all nice and snug, and even thinking about getting up is daunting. Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build. Let's keep it pristine. Let's capture this glory and stay forever. But precisely as Peter is just rambling on, saying this stuff, a cloud comes over them. A thick fog moves in. Just when they thought everything was coming out so clear and beautiful, the fog comes in, and then they hear this voice. "This is my son, the chosen. Listen to him." In other words, God says to the disciples of old and to us today, listen to him. Listen to this one. Listen to Jesus, not to your own voices. Listen to him. Not to your own accomplishments. Listen to him. Not those calls that have us wanting safety and security from the world. Not from our own fuzzy-mindedness. Listen to him. And suddenly, the cloud lifts. And it's just Jesus. And what's he doing? He's headed back down the mountain. We had the option to include what happens next here. It's important, I think, to include what happens next. He's headed back down the mountain, back to the pain, back to the brokenness, back to the division and the cruelty, back to all those folks who are getting caught up in it, back to the evil of the world. No better example than the last part of this reading today. Jesus casts out a demon. Immediately after this great and glorious event, listen to him, the one casting out the demon, the one who confronts evil and oppression with love and with healing. Here's the gift of Transfiguration Sunday. We get just a glimpse of God's glory, just a glimpse, and then we get back to work. Following the one who confronts evil and oppression with love. The glory, you see, keeps on moving. It's like the flame that the acolyte carries. The acolyte will light the candle at the end, right? Sydney will light the candle and she'll go out. It's just a little flicker. And yet it's this glimpse. The symbol is it's just a glimpse of God's glory moving off the mountain and out into the world. A little flare to remind us that this work in the trenches is a worthy cause. More than that, it is a divine cause. It is God's cause. Anyone who helped in any way with hypothermia shelter this week, I hope you got a glimpse of God's cause. I mean, it's not pretty. Most of the time, it's hard work. It smelled in here when I'd come in the morning, right? People are sleeping all over the place. There's trash outside. The toilets are a mess. The trash is overflowing. I mean, it's not pretty. And when you get to know them, when you start talking with them, when you hear what they're going through and you pray with them, It's not pretty, but I hope you got just a glimpse of God's cause this week. Not overwhelming, but we just keep on moving now. We just keep on moving, having received a glimpse. Sometimes it seems like there's no difference being made, no hope, no change, no matter. But our work, friends, your work, people of God, in your everyday lives, not just with hypothermia shelter, your work is not in vain. Caring for those who are poor and sick, caring for those who are hungry, the outsider, the immigrant and refugee, those without a roof during this winter season. Your work is not in vain, friends in Christ, reaching out to support a friend who's in need, or being a loving parent, or doing the right thing, even if it's costly to your reputation or your wallet. Staying awake and alert so that you don't get caught up in it. We don't live on the mountaintop, do we? It'd be great if we did. But we live in the valleys of this world. And your living and working in the valley is not in vain. One of the themes in the Gospel of Luke is that Jesus says it, and then he does it. I love that in Luke. He doesn't just talk. I told my dad I didn't want to be a pastor when I was in high school because all pastors do is talk. It's fair. Fair criticism. Jesus says it, he talks, but then he does it also. He says, he talks about release to the captive, and he stands with the oppressed, he preaches these sermons, and then he says, here, let me show you what this means. And then he says, if it doesn't go well, earlier, just in this chapter today, then shake the dust from your sandals and just keep moving. Just keep following that little flame out into the world. Jesus talked about this when he sent his disciples out. And then he himself gets chased out of his hometown. And he just keeps moving. Our kids used to love Finding Nemo, you know, Dory's. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. Bad things would happen. And what does Dory say about it? Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Today we get a peek at God's glory. And this week we descend down into the valley of Lent, these 40 days of valley living, coming face to face with our sin and the sin of our world. And yet we just keep swimming in the waters and the promise of our baptism. Today we get a peek at God's glory up here, at this peaceful Christ who is the true hope and safety of our lives and of the life of this whole world. Let us bask this morning in the wonder of his presence, shining among us even today, even in 2019. Let us just be silent in Christ's glory, not babbling or happy drunk with suggestions on how to package and domesticate the moment. Let's just be in praise when we worship. The German mystic Rilke, praise, my dear ones. Let us disappear into praising. Nothing belongs to us. Let's just bask in the glimpse that we have this morning. And when the glimpse is past, when the cloud of praise lifts, then, O God, give us the courage to follow your Son, the chosen one, down the rocky path to face this world's pain and sorrow, to face the sin in our own lives and in our world, but to do so knowing that the glimpse of God that we have today, both in the scripture and in the sacraments, the glimpse of God is only a foretaste of the feast to come when we shall dwell with all the saints in endless glory. Thanks be to God who goes with us now, who leads us now into the valleys, who casts out demons and welcomes the stranger, who loves everyone, even you, even me, this day and always. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.
Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.